New Zealand first vows to go slowly on cameras on fishing boats.
Yeah, kia ora, Marnie, it certainly does. Now, environmental groups say cameras should be on all fishing boats to monitor skippers who might accidentally catch mammals or the wrong fish species for which they don't have quota. The fishing industry fears footage from these cameras might be edited and used for distorted attacks on the fishing industry by anti-fishing campaigners. The Regional Development Minister, Shane Jones, says the New Zealand First Party has sympathies for that position and is not taking that stand because of favouritism to fishing companies, but because he supports industries that generate income and jobs.
I have, since I've been in New Zealand politics, being an apostle for industry and jobs. Any suggestion that acts of electoral generosity from the fishing industry that have been declared rules me out from having a view about the fishing industry reflects worm-like thinking. Fact number two, the leaders of the industry are themselves willing to work with the government on the eventual installation of cameras. Initially, I was very worried that in the post-COVID environment, we were placing unnecessarily high levels of stress on a valuable contributor to our foreign exchange earnings and the composition of our GDP, the fishing industry. So I deeply resent this worm-like behaviour, making lurid allegations that are not rooted in fact.
Okay, so you're saying you are willing to go along with what the industry says would be cameras in the long run. One of the issues that is raised by Seafood New Zealand is that there is a question mark over the privacy of the shots and the ownership of the footage. What about that?
Well, we don't race out policy or mechanisms such as cameras without the officials doing exhaustive work. Now, there are significant rights of privacy, and at the last time I checked, we weren't putting full-scale surveillance into every dairy shed. Where does the rights of the state to surveil industry begin and end? That's why you take the time to maintain the correct balance.
So do you think in the end there will be cameras on every boat and there will be resolution of the privacy issues?
The resolution of the privacy issues, I'll leave that to the officials so that one particular image doesn't stigmatise an entire industry at the hands of these economic vandals, otherwise known as the NGO community.
That's Shane Jones. Now, WorkSafe is warning farm businesses to make sure they clearly communicate health and safety risks to migrant workers. This comes after an Ashburton dairy company was fined nearly $300,000 after a worker was seriously injured when he was crushed by a trailer in 2018. Maya Barry reports.
The victim was left with spinal injuries and pelvic and rib fractures. The company, Sidog Investments Limited, was fined more than $280,000 in the Ashburton District Court yesterday. WorkSafe's Chief Inspector, Steve Kelly, says the victim, a migrant worker with English as his second language, wasn't aware that standing on the drawbar of the trailer was a hazard. Mr. Kelly says a WorkSafe investigation found it was common practice for workers to do this during calf collection, but this should not have been allowed. He says at any farm where English might be a second language for workers, employers need to take extra precautions to ensure workers meet and understand health and safety responsibilities. Ko Maya Bari Tene.
A webinar has been told that the New Zealand dairy industry has far lower greenhouse gas emissions than in comparable countries. A senior Fonterra executive, Andrew Kempson, was addressing a webinar organised by the New Zealand Agricultural Greenhouse Gas Research Council. The dairy industry is often blamed for a disproportionate share of this country's greenhouse gas emissions. But Mr. Kempson told the seminar that his company's carbon footprint is one third of the world average.
The on-farm carbon footprint for Fonterra milk production in New Zealand is 0.91 kgs of CO2 equivalents per kg of fat and protein corrected milk, lower than comparative regions such as Ireland at 1.14, Eastern Europe at 1.34, Western Europe at 1.37, and North America at 1.29.
Andrew Kempson says the global average is three times his company's farm emissions, while levels in dry and some developing countries are five times higher. Fonterra says milk collection for the dairy season just ended was down 0.4% on the prior season. In its latest global dairy update, the co-op says the decline was partly offset by a lift in monthly milk production in May, which was up 4.3% on May 2019. It says this was thanks to more favourable weather conditions after months of drought. Meanwhile, total New Zealand dairy exports fell more than 4% in April compared with the same month last year. And Fonterra says this was largely because of softer demand for cheese out of China and Japan. And the export market for venison is continuing to struggle, according to AgriHQ, with the restaurant sector remaining slow. A senior analyst, Mel Crode, says farm gate prices are feeling the impact of this.
Venison slaughter prices fortunately remained steady last week, but they are still at around the $6 a kilo mark, which is significantly lower than what venison farmers are used to. Unfortunately, this value is unlikely to see much change until the chilled market gets underway in spring. The export market for venison is still really tough going, and that's purely because the restaurant sector in our key markets is still being hampered by COVID-related issues there. Many countries are working to open the restaurants, but we've seen large job losses globally. So it is going to be a long road to recovery.
That's Mel Crode of AgriHQ. And finally, Australia's competition watchdog, the ACCC, is to undertake a detailed review of agreements between dairy farmers and the companies that buy and process their milk. A code of conduct worked out by the government and the industry was introduced earlier this year and covered a range of matters, including a minimum milk price. But the ACC wants to know just how well that is working. And that's Rural News for now.